rise and warm ourselves. Let's sing a song. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. And he's coming back again. He's coming back again. He's coming back again for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. He's coming back again for me. Let us pray. Dear precious Lord Jesus, we are grateful to be here this morning, and as the song says, it's only through your blood that we are here today. Oh Father, you made a way for us to be here, and we are grateful. We thank you, oh God, Father, our King, our Maker, oh Thou, our great King, Master of the universe. We stand before you today. We don't deserve to be here. But Lord, you chose us, Father, to be here. And we accept it, Lord. We can reason it out. We can ask why. Because it all happened according to the good pleasure of yourself. And we just want to say thank you. And as your children, we want to be here this morning to worship you. We want to praise you. We want to thank you. We want to magnify your name. Oh God, we want to say how great thou art. Lord, we love you. Father, help us and bless the service this morning. Oh God, bless this Sunday school. Help me and help each one of us, Lord. May your presence be here. May your Shekinah glory be here, Lord. Oh Father, use me. And Father God, Lord, for the furtherance of your kingdom. Oh God, Father, I put some notes down, but those are just outline. Those are just things I put for myself. But Father, this is not my service. It's your service. The gathering of the children here, they are not gathered unto me, but they are gathered unto you. So, Father, you are the master of ceremony here, Lord. You are the master, Lord, wherever you, whichever way you want it. However you want it, Father, oh, Lord, is all your hands. So, Father, I surrender all to you. I surrender myself to you, Lord. Father, that may you use me according to the way you want the ceremony to be run to please you. Oh God, help us, Father. Help us, Lord, Father, to live a life that is pleasing in thy sight. We thank you, Father. Bless everything, and we commit all to your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to continue where we left off last Sunday. And, you know, I'm going to start off with a quote. You know, when we accept Christ and are baptized and receive the Holy Ghost, that's when the real training starts. Because with the Holy Ghost, you will say, well, why? Didn't I start the training before? No. When you receive the Holy Ghost, that's when the real training starts. Before, it's like you're getting warm up to the idea. I'm going to a training camp. You don't just become a Christian, coming to church. You are just warming up to the idea. I'll be going to a camp. One time, it's like, you know, the young soldiers who like to go and they entertain the idea, I'm going. But once you get the Holy Ghost, that's when the real training starts. Because with the Holy Ghost, you can understand the Word of God and how it applies to your life. Amen? All right? You can follow instruction. Now, if you cannot follow instruction, you cannot go into training. You know, soldiers who cannot follow training, when they go, they kick them out. You know, they say that you are not fit for here because when you come here, you have to follow instruction. Amen? So let me first read a scripture, and I'll read the quote. I get it. Let's go to 2 Peter 1:5. 2 Peter 1:5. 2 Peter 1:5. And I'll just read half of the verse. And beside this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue. All right, and now let's go to Luke, St. Luke 6, 12. St. Luke 6. I'll start 12 to 19. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continue all night. Yes, St. Luke 6, 12. Okay, and he went out, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continue all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him a disciple, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. All right, so you see, he went and prayed all night. Had to be that constant communication with the Father. Because he said, I do nothing unless the Father show me. All right, let me skip here so we don't we gain time. I'm going to skip to 17. Okay? And he came down with them and stood in a plain, and a company of disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And there that were vexed with unclean spirit, and there were healed. And the whole multitude, you see, the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Amen. Now let's read Luke 8:45 to 46. And Jesus said, you know this story well. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. You may be seated. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. All right. So here, I say I'll start with this quote. Like I said, when you come to Christ and you receive the Holy Ghost, and that's when a training starts, okay? Real battle. And Brother Branham said here in 1965, one of his last great messages, he said, I believe the churches begin to hear the message and begin to understand. But friends, listen, we've got to lay in the presence of the Son, S-O-N, okay? It's missing the Son of God. We've got to be ripened. Our faith isn't ripe. Intellectually, we are hearing the message that God has given us and seeing the signs that he shows and proving it by the Bible. It's there. But oh, how the church needs to lay in his presence till it tenders up, you know, and get sweet in the spirit so that it can bathe down. Sometimes in speaking the message, you get harsh. Have to break in like that, because you've got to clench a nail to make it whole. But when the church once gets it, the elected is called out and separated, then the presence of God, I know it will be something like the people was there when it takes the rapture. So that's 65. And 65, Brian said, we are just beginning to hear the message. And he said, the next message coming will be dove leading eagles. But have we lay under the sun really to ripen. All right? Now, Christ commanded us to be perfect, and he provided a roadmap to reach that goal. You see, God sent a prophet to restore the faith back to the faith of the fathers, where like Abraham can believe, yes, God exists. If God tells me, take your only son, go, sacrifice him, you can do it without hesitation, without even fear. Just say, let's go. All right? It's that kind of faith. And that's why you see Brother Brown will refer a lot to Abraham. And even in the one, in some of the last messages, he said with his back turned, talking about Abraham encounter with Elohim, okay, Jehovah. So God sent a prophet. It was not just to come and demonstrate that we can talk about it today, but it was what God wanted for his church. And Brother Brown was just the example that he sent to show us. If he didn't give us a pattern, look, God himself came so that they can see. Right? The disciples, Peter and all that, they saw, and that's how they can preach Christ. If God never came, like you see Moses and all the different ones, the prophet that spoke about him here and there, a little bit here, they display him, character, display a little bit of him, Moses display a little bit of him, like Moses was risen with God, say, how can you, that was character of Christ, and so forth, David and all through them, they display, but when Christ comes to the fullness, and the fullness had to be preached back to the people, and that's how Peter and them, Peter, unlearned man, how can he, where does he get this from, unto faith, our virtue, knowledge, temperance, to be part of an unlearned fisherman. But it was Christ, the Holy Ghost came, and that had to be preached to bring us back to that fullness. Yes. All right? So the ultimate goal of a Christian is to partake of the divine nature of Christ. Amen. All right? Like Abel, we want God to receive our sacrifice. All right? He received the sacrifice of Abel, but he didn't receive the sacrifice of Cain. All right? Now, as Israel, all right, as Israel was Jehovah light bearer, and magnify his name. Israel was a Jehovah light bearer. Throughout all the ages, all those Canaanites, all the Hittites, all the sins, the committed darkness, Israel then were the light bearer. That's why even God gave them the menorah. Menorah means light, lamp in Hebrew. All right? Give them the menorah. Because they're the light through the ups and downs of the dark going, and Jehovah will come back. We curse them and they give them a promise back. We curse them again. But through all that, they are that sliver of light that carry the name of God. And as I was saying last time, if God didn't raise Israel, all right, there won't be anything about God. It's the same with Seth, Enosh, and then they begin to call on the name of God. Satan wants to, there's no one anything about the name of God being called. Okay, so today, and as I said, there's a parallel between the bride and Israel, okay? Israel was obviously the church natural, but we, today, we are the church spiritual, all right? So we must, the bride today is his light bearer, and must do the same, magnify his name. And you see, when Brother Brown drew the seven church ages, it went total darkness. He didn't even know what to get. God gave the inspiration to put a sliver of light. Same as the Old Testament, where everywhere just sin. Israel has to go through the nation. That's why God was telling them, don't mingle with them. Don't do this. Don't do that. Else they're going to extinguish your light. So it's the same thing today in this end time. And that's why the bride, we have to know who we are. All right? We leave, you see. They will go, and when they go somewhere, they say, okay, we buy for this, but we are not going to mingle. And God said, don't. And God remembered the promise he made to Esau and all that. He said, don't touch their land. Don't touch this. Don't touch that. Okay? But go through them. You see, Methodist, Baptist, and all that. God knows the promises he made to, but you, the bride, you are the light bearer. Just go through. You buy for food, pay for it, buy water, I mean, that's not literally, okay? So the light bearer is a bright day, all right? Israel, as it was a natural, and you see, so you see today, all right? They are, if you see them today, they are today, they are all over the world, you see them. Like Brother Bram said, they don't even know exactly where they are. And Brother Bram said, this is sad. But you see, like Paul said, and I'll read for you here, Paul said in Paul said in Romans 11, 15, for if the casting away of them be the reconcile of the world, God has to cast them away to choose to find you and I, the bride. What shall the receiving of them be? But life from the dead. Amen? And you see them today. They are there, you know. You can see them sometimes for people who have traveled. Like on the airline, you see them there. You mean, meantime, they go to the Dovenin. What do you call the Dovenin? I think you can find in Ezekiel. The Dovenin. You see them at this wailing wall. They're Dovenin. Right? And all what they're singing the praises of God. If you see some of their prayers, like you and I, we always say, oh, God, great physician, because we were in sin and God came and got us out. We sing a lot about that, the grace of God, what God had done for us. We see ourselves always as sinners, right? But if you want to see who really sing about who God is, his glory, that's a Jew. We always sing about what he did. Oh, God, great God, you saved me because of you. I can see I'm here today. But if you read, all right, their prayers, you know, that you see, when you see them davening, and I brought here one ancient prayer book that a friend of mine gave me, and I was reading something that really touched me. I was reading one of their prayers that really, and I said, I'll share that with you. It's probably Buddha's more than 100 years old, and I have to open it carefully because each time I open the pages with tear. All right? And this year, you see them, when you see them on a plane like they're doing, that's you see them this, with this thing in there. That's you see. They just talked about how great he is. So they have to be blind to not see him when he came, right? Yeah. So let me read this quickly. They call Adonai, Master of the Universe. They say, we adore the Lord of the Universe who reigned before everything that his form was created. Yeah. And you see, Emperor Branham, look at all the denominations. I couldn't preach this. Brother Branham came and brought us before the function, began to tell us all the things that God. But then, that was their way of life. They knew him for better. We didn't. So God had to send a prophet to bring us to the faith of the Father, like Abraham, who knew him this way. Amen? Talk to the denomination. Why do you think? Because I didn't know. But it's the grace of God for us. That's why you have to carry this message. Never let it die. Amen? Amen? All right. And at the time, he says that, and at the time that all was finished, according to his pleasure, then was his name proclaimed as king. He says, that's what they're reading. They'll be reading them. And that they'll be reading, they'll be singing it. All right? And after all things shall have ceased to exist, he alone will reign tremendous in majesty. For he ever was, is now, and will eternally exist in glory. All right? You see, they're magnifying him. All right? And he is one. You see, that's why Trinity, but how do we get to Trinity? Because we didn't know who that God was. We were grafted. Amen? And he is one. Nor is there a second to be compared or associated with him. Amen. So when I come in to say about God, this God, that, they all know you cannot associate not him to that. So you see, that's when God opened their eyes. were the sin. So how did we do this? How did we crucify our own Messiah? Amen? He is without beginning and without end. And to him alone appertain power and dominion.
Amen.
And you see, Jesus, when Jesus finished the Lord's Prayer, for to him belongs all what? The glory and the power forever and ever.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
He is my God and my living Redeemer. Not the dead God. My living Redeemer and the rock of my portion on the day of distress. He is also my standard and my refuge, the portion of my cup when I call. Into his hands I commit my spirit when I fall asleep and when I wake. And with my spirit, my body also, for the Lord is with me and I will not fear. Blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with the commandment, has commanded us when they go to different things. And so, and when you even read in Hebrews, even stronger. All right? So I just want to read that a little bit to you. Now, the bride in life, that's what we're supposed to do. We have to know who we are. After, that's why God sent a prophet to reveal the word. All right? Not that we're in a playing field. Not that we are like, okay, Methodist, Baptist. No, God, he brought it back to the beginning. We know who he is to really magnify, extol him. All right? Being the bride natural. But you see, we let the devil fight us so much. And the devil will bring us into so many territories. You see, like the Jew, the same thing, the devil did so much, then they were gone, everything, they burned their state, they did everything. The devil wants to do the same thing to the bride spiritual, or attack you. Different persecution, spiritual, financial, you're always thinking about something else instead of thinking about that God. Sometimes you see in a plane, you see them like that, you see them all the time because they want to have their mind all the time on him. But we, you know, we say a little prayer of five, no God, thank you. And then, bam, we're gone to different things. And that's why the devil likes to distract us. Because God, if you read through the Bible, okay, through the book of Moses, say God is jealous God. He wants you to have your attention on him 100%.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
All right?
Amen.
But that's where it's hard. But that's where God brought the prophet. And many times the prophet said, people say, I go through the woods. But when he's there, that's he's communicating constantly with him. And when he comes, he'll bring the message from him. Amen?
Amen?
All right. So Israel is his first son. Israel is his first son. And that's why he told Moses, go tell, when you go there, that's what you should tell Pharaoh. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I'll slay. So God sent a prophet to tell the remnant, to tell Laodicea, let my son go. So that's why he came. He went all over and said, you don't forget about your divisions, calling from left and right. It was a time to get out. Amen? It was not a time for us to come and get out and come first among ourselves. All right? So anyway, we saw that, okay, that the foundation to lay everything on is faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God for him to accept our sacrifice, okay? And you must receive the Holy Ghost. Because our brother Brown said, without the Holy Ghost, your sacrifice is not yet accepted. Amen? All right, then today we are going to get into our subject. Then after the foundation is laid, faith, you have faith in God like Abraham. When God tells you, go, take your only son that you love. And as you read the Bible, okay, I think I preached last year or 2 years ago about love. The first time the word love was used in the Bible came from God himself.
Amen.
All right? And he used it on Isaac, your son that you love. And then he came here with Jesus, John 3:16, for God so loved the Son that he gave his only begotten Son. All right? Same thing, okay? So, after that foundation of faith, that when God says something, you believe it. Whether it makes sense or doesn't make sense, look, God told Abraham, I am going to raise you. Say, look at the stars. Look at the sun. Can you count? That's how your seed is going to be. And then he tell me, thy only son, take him, go. Does it make any sense? It doesn't make any sense. Say, whatever, you're going to give me a seed. You're going to give me that you can count. Now you're telling me, take that seed and go sacrifice. It doesn't make any sense. But Abraham didn't reason with God. Say, wait a minute. Now God, Abraham didn't say, you see, when the time came for Abraham, when God was going to Sodom, all right, Abraham said, oh, Abraham knew his nephew was there. And there are people say, oh, no, I cannot let you. Oh, paraphrase of 50. Oh, no, let me, I take upon myself to say one more time, going down to 10. Abraham knew how to reason with God. But when God told him, go, he didn't say, but God, but didn't you say, after you gave me a vision, that my seed, but how is it going to be? Can you explain to you how it's going to be? He didn't do that. But when God was about to destroy, he bargained. That's where you see the bargaining power. All right? But here, when God tell him, do this, that's a promise of God, a perfect promise. So Abraham has a perfect faith in a perfect promise. He didn't question that. Amen? So that's the beginning of the process. All right? But now, we shouldn't stop there. But the problem that most of us have, all right, and that's how I feel, that's just my opinion, that's how the message we got where we are. Because many times what happens is that we want to bring people to church, all right? Yes, it's good, we want to see them saved, we want to, but then when they come, okay, I'm in the message, and that ends there. I'm in the message, all right? Or sometimes, I got a Holy Ghost, it stopped right there. But that's just the beginning. How can you take a soldier who goes to camp and say, I'm here, that's it, that's what I'm came for? No. All right? You have to keep going. If you want to move up to officer, you have to go and get your grade. All right? Now, God doesn't have the house yet to dwell in. When you say you have the Holy Ghost, God doesn't have the house to dwell in. You saw Brother Branham explain the rainfall and the just and the unjust. And the two churches will be within the same framework. All right? The Holy Spirit will fall on the just and the unjust. The Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit did with what Brother Branham saw that bothered him at the beginning. So it shows that, okay, God just having the Holy Ghost is not the house that God wants to dwell in, yes. Nah. It's just the beginning. All right? Then, bro, so we must add virtue. And Brother Bram said here, then after we lay the foundation, secondly, you add to your foundation, add to your faith. Peter said here, add to, first you have faith, and then you add virtue to your faith. You see, it was never someone that said add faith to your baptism. He did not say that. All right? When you believe in Christ, he did not say, add to your baptism, add to your Holy Ghost faith. He didn't say that. Because when you accepted Christ, you repented. All right? You repent. You turn from your old way. You're baptized with the Holy Ghost. That, the faith, is there, and that's a foundation, right, to believe in God and accept him as your Savior. Then on that, now that your eyes are open, now that you can get instruction, now that you know what to do, now we are going to begin to add. All right? All right? So add. That is the next column. First, your foundation, faith. then to your faith add virtue. And brother said, now, right there knocks a lot of us down. Yes, sir. Add virtue to your faith. That doesn't mean living a virgin life, you know, like the woman or a man and so forth. That doesn't have nothing to do with that. The Bible said, we read over in the book of Luke where he said, virtue went out of him. And we read that, okay? That's right. Congregation, say amen. If we are going to be like him, all right? If we take Brother Branham, well, we have to take everything that he says. If we are going to be like him, we must add virtue. We must have it to be like him. It's the first song I ever loved in the hymns. One of the greatest was "To Be Like Jesus." Well, if I'm going to be like Jesus, I've got to have virtue. And it passed that, it can pass forward from me to the people. You see, that's why Jesus, they say virtue went out of him and healed all the people. Right? If you take Peter, they just walk through the beautiful gate. Silver or gold have I not, but such as I have, I give it to you. Take Paul. This is the man who consented even to the death of Stephen. And when I begin to kill people, but when Christ, he got Christ, all right, feel the Holy Ghost, and begin to add. That, what did they say? That when a divine nature was in Paul, what did they say? They say handkerchief were taken from his body, that virtue went out and healed, they put on people and healed the people. Amen? Those are not just a history for us to read. It's not tales for us to read to our children, say, this is what happened. Brother Branham is not just a tale for us to just quote, say, that's what a prophet did. We have to strive for that. Amen. And that's why I think the bride, that's why we fail. Because, oh, we are going to rapture, the prophet came, and and before we know, okay, to our children, maybe in the coming generation, it become a history, become a tale. But we don't want that. He's a living God. Amen. Amen. Amen? Now, to be like him. Well, if I'm going to be like Jesus, I've got to have virtue and can pass it forth from me to the people, because virtue went out of him to the people. Virtue. And before you can let it out, you've got to have it first. You haven't got it, it won't go out. There's nothing for it to come out of. What if someone tried to draw virtue out of us and a check will return and sufficient funds? You remember last Wednesday we talked about bringing a check? Imagine when you go, you bring the check and they say insufficient fund. All right? Brother Branham said, what if someone try to draw virtue out of us and the church will return insufficient fund? See? No. None. None there to draw from. Check bounced. Somebody looking at you as a Christian and tomorrow see you out there carrying on like a sinner. No much virtue can be drawn from that. Amen? Virtue must be in us. It's a requirement. So just coming to the message is like, God, what is it that you want of us? After I come to the message, what is it? Because many people take the message on a fear level. I fear to go to hell, but when I hear about this message, I'm baptized, oh, and I'm going to heaven. No. That's not what it is. You are to be trained as a soldier. Every day, God, what's the promises? But the church, the whole message, you see, are beginning to forget a little bit about the main thing that Brother Branham came to preach about. We are beginning to get settled, and before you know, we are not too far from the Pentecostals. That's why sometimes we can impress them very much. All right? Brotherly kindness, we barely even show brotherly kindness to each other in the same church. We better than show brother kindness between congregation. Congregation won't visit congregation because they say, this one say this way, this one say that way, so we never visit. You don't impress. Right? So the thing, and the very God's going, God, that's not a dwelling place for God. And that's what Brother Bram said, that the thing that comforted Brother Bram said, it's going to be a time where God's going to pull one here, one here, one here, one here, one here, one here, one here. It's not going to be a church thing. And that's why everyone individually, we must lock in with him. Individually, we must go in that secret place. All right? We shut the door of the world behind and say, oh God, you chose me. What would you want me to do at this end time? You said in your word, I have to add virtue. God, how do I add that virtue? Oh God, that's my prayer today. God. And what did he say? Don't just say today, say, you know, I asked him yesterday. He gave us the story of the unjust judge. Okay? He said, because the lady keep coming. Why would he just give that? Would he just give that because he wanted to tell a story to an audience? No. He was leaving us a pattern. And then he said, if you have a friend, right? And your friend comes to you and I say, listen, I need a bread because I have guests. Do you think, and you already have the door closed, will you say, oh, you know what, my door is already closed, I'm inside with my children, we are sleeping, I'm not going to give you that? He said, no. Because he's a friend, he will open and give him that door. What? Ask yourself, why would he just throw those? You'll be preaching and then throw that in between. Why? Is it because Jesus is a storyteller? Or because it's a very good poem? I mean, he likes to tell us things? No. It was a pattern that he was leaving for us. Amen? Amen? Virtue must be in us. And until we get virtue, then when we get virtue, we can add it to our faith. That's the next foundation wall. Now, first, you must have faith. Faith alone won't do it. That's the word of the prophet from the statue of the perfect man. Faith alone won't do it. You got it? Peter said, then add virtue to your faith. You must have virtue in order to add it to your faith. Now, then it might be the reason you don't have it because many churches of today teach you don't have it, you don't have to have it, or the days of it is past. They don't have to have it. Only thing you have to do, just join church, days is past. That's why I say, it's not just coming to the message. All right? Virtue. Anyone knows what the word virtue means, see? And we must have it. If virtue went out from him to heal the woman that was sick, he's expecting the same virtue in his church. Because he was our example. And if he had virtue to give to the people, he expects us to have virtue to give to the people. And what is virtue? Virtue is strength, power. Some of them don't even believe in power of God. They say, that's past. Only thing you have to do is just put your name on the book and be sprinkled or baptized or whatever more. And that's all you have to do. That's why I say, coming to the message is not all what you have to do. Amen? Amen. God hates a powerless religion. God hates powerless religion. Is that right? Now, Brother Brown say, Brother Brown expressed that in All Things 62. He said, God hates a power religion. And any religion today that hasn't got Christ in it is powerless. Powerless. But any religion that Christ is in under his own blood and he's got power in it. So if we say today that we've got the blood, we've applied the token, we are under the sign, then power must be in the church of Christ. All right? All right, we're running out of time. So here, I'll say here, Brother Bram said here, seen such a perfect man. I said then, the first thing you know There's somebody who loves to smell the odor. He ain't selfish. He's got odor. Before he can give out odor, O-D-O-R, he has to have it. Before he can give out honey, he has to have it. Before he can give out beauty, he has to have it. Before you can give out virtue, you have to have it. So add to your faith virtue. Amen? Understand? We could stay on that a long time, but our time would get away from us. Adding virtue to your faith. All right? But I will end with this. All right? Brother Bram said, but he promised, just before the coming of the end time, the world will get like it was in Sodom. When a man come down in human form, three of them, two angels and God himself. That was God. The Bible said it was. Now, he came down, and he manifested himself there by turning his back to the tent where Sarah was and told Abraham what Sarah was thinking in the tent. That's right. Now, Jesus himself said at the day when the Son of Man is being revealed, in other words, the Son of Man, the ministry of Jesus Christ himself. The church will come through justification, through Luther, through sanctification, through Wesley, through the battle of the Holy Ghost, and the Pentecostals, and go right on into the perfection of the Son of Man. That when husband and wife will be the same self persons, God will be so manifested into his bride, his church, till they will both be the same. They are one. Now you see where we are at. That's what I'm talking about. That time for God to be manifested in his bride. That time to move on to the perfection of the Son of Man again. It's not a question of, oh, you know, I come to church, I go to church every Sunday, and I'm in the message, all right? The devil can trick us with all that. Just go in the message, accept it, and you're fine, you're going to a rapture, and then sit there, do nothing. But what we want is to partake of the divine nature of God, all right? So to the faith that you got when you see you accepted him and you believe him, you are my Lord, you are my God, you are my Savior, you are my all in all, you are my creator, and you're baptized, you get filled with the Holy Ghost, that faith that you have, to that faith, add virtue. Let us rise. Dear precious Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, O God, for sending us an end-time prophet who preach the statue of a perfect man, the roadmap for the bride to be partake of your divine nature. And your apostle Peter so expressed it so well that if we have those things, O God, Father, we won't be wanting. If we have those things, Father, we will partake of the divine nature. And you send a prophet at the end time to restore back the faith of the children to the faith of the fathers. The faith that Abraham had when he can, without thinking or reasoning, accept, decide to sacrifice his only son through whom the promise was given. Oh God, you send the prophet not just to show us that what he can do, but you send him as an example for us how we can be more like Christ. So Father, we pray that help us, Lord. May this be our determination. May this be, Father God, our ultimate determination, Father, that we want to be more like you. Help us, Lord. Father, may we cut ourselves from the world, O God. When you saved the children of Israel, you told them, go to the nations. Don't mingle with them. Whatever they get from Moab or the cows and long cows and from Lot. He said, pay for it, but keep moving. Don't take anything from them. And Father, today the bride, we are the spiritual bride, Father. Israel world, the natural. Help us, God, that as we see all these things going around us, all these things that we see, the darkness, oh God, let us be your light bearers, Father, as we walk through this light, the life. We know we have to rub shoulders with the world. We know we have to do things with the world. But God, let us move and not mingle. Let us keep moving, Father. Whatever we take for them, we pay and we don't. Oh God, let us be your children, oh God. Help us, Father. And Lord, help us, Father, that it be our constant prayer that we come before you. Father, it shows us in Luke. Oh God, Luke 6, that Father, you went to the mountain and prayed all night. And when you came back, you chose your disciple and they said, virtue went out of you and healed all the people. Father, let that be our example. That we spend time with you. This time that you anoint us, Father God, you endue us with power for service. Oh God, may we spend time with you. That you oh Father, you give us strength, power for service, Father. Because, Lord, we know at the end time that bride will have to have the same ministry as yours. Lord, we commit all to your hands. Bless the oncoming service. Bless everything. Help us bless the minister. And, Father, may we have you on our mind, Lord. May the mind that was in Christ be in us to control our body. May we have the eyes of Christ so we can see what God wants us to see. May we have the ears of Christ so we can hear what God wants us to hear. Give us the feet of Christ so we can walk where God wants us to walk. Give us the hand of Christ so we can do the work of Christ. Give us the mouth of Christ so we can speak like Christ. We love you, Lord. We commit all to your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.